Hello, good morning, and you are very welcome to this special edition of Countrywide. We have gathered stories of Christmas preparations from across the country and sprinkled them with music from RTE Lyric FM's ever-popular Choirs for Christmas competition. And we're going to begin this morning on one of our Western Isles. There's an Irish Christmas food tradition from coastal communities that travelled the world. Salted whitefish, boiled potatoes, drowned in white sauce, served on Christmas Eve night. It's been observed as far afield as Newfoundland, but Aran Islanders lay special claim to it. I went to Inishmore to see, was it still a living tradition, or was it making way for the standardised Christmas dinner? First stop, Joe Watty's pub, to get the lay of the land from Countrywide's Aran Islands contact, singer-songwriter Pádraig Jack.
I think I've spent actually every Christmas here. I've had pretty much every Christmas dinner here, so it was always turkey and, you know.
So salted whitefish, does that sound to you like a generational thing or something that might be slipping?
It could be. I suppose that reminds me now of the Balachí Bui, you know, that rockfish, the fish that it's dried fish, but it's not a Christmas thing. It's not necessarily a Christmas thing here. Which again, I wouldn't have been aware of.
Oh, look at this.
Oh,
that looks tasty.
So, yeah, no, I think, to be honest, no, I think for me, it's been a standard thing since we grew up.
In fairness to Pádraig, his family's Christmas Eves were really always more about music than food.
But I think, yeah, we'll have the session here. We'll go down, come down here. I often try out a new song or two.
And do you lower yourself to do in a few Christmas covers?
Oh, I do. Well, what do I do? I do Fairy Tale New York. I do one or two. Eahune.
From Silent Night to Rude Awakening.
That was our main diet on Christmas Eve every year. We had it many times during the winter as well, but it was the main diet for Christmas Eve.
Okay.
The very first chat I had the following morning was with husband and wife, Pat and Anne Fitzpatrick, suggesting that not only was the salted whitefish tradition dying out, but that some marriages might be better off without it.
I was revolted by it, really, because I never had salted fish, and I tasted it and I really didn't like it.
And you nearly fled back to the mainland.
I did. Especially Pat's mother, the Lord of Mercy, you know, she just absolutely adored it. And she'd suck every single bone on the body of the fish.
Okay.
There'd be nothing left, really.
And in her last few years, you had to make it for her, did you?
Well, I wanted to make it for her. We'd bring her over for Christmas, parts of Christmas, and that Tower House. And I'd done it for her and Pat, like, you know.
And could you understand what her, shall I say politely, her resistance to this dish was?
Well, I could, yeah, because it was very understanding, you see. But it took a bit of training, but we got there.
Well, hang on a second now. Are you actually still making it for Christmas Eve? Who trained who here? Did you train him out of it?
I did.
That's it, yeah.
What will you be having this Christmas Eve?
Well, we'll be in New Jersey. We're going to New Jersey to see our grandchildren. Yeah, yeah.
There'll be no Balachí over there.
Do you miss it at Christmas? Or are you, frankly, you know, just as happy with your turkey and your spiced beef and your bit of ham or whatever?
Yeah, I miss it. It loved. It's still. It's an old traditional. Probably there was only one of our kids that liked it, Connor, wasn't it? He was.
And when was the last time you did it at Christmas Eve?
10 years ago, I'd say.
No, have to stretch back your memory. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Pat is a retired fisherman, pushed out of it, he said, by ever shrinking quota and fish stocks. He suggested that I needed to go to the pier. Whatever fishermen were left on Inishmore would be out that morning, because it was the first day in 3 weeks that was calm enough to fish.
How'd you get on?
An excuse to go.
Michael Joyce had a big net bag of lobsters to show for his time out on the water that day.
How many is that then?
About 2 dozen.
Look at them.
Buy the pepper for the dinner, that's all.
Do you get a better price for lobster at this time of year?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's less boats going out, yeah?
Well, no, but the French market is a lot. Everybody in France eats lobsters for Christmas.
Really? Okay.
Christmas and what do you call that other day, Matt? In the summertime? Bastille Day.
Are you allowed to bring white fish on shore now?
No, no. Well, we don't fish white fish. We can't land it. We don't fish it.
So that means that the tradition of bollock bui is...
Oh, well, we can get bollock bui. We don't classify that as whitefish.
Do you not? Okay.
No, that's rockfish. It'd be, as I told you, you find them in among the rocks. But even you're not supposed to land them. We have a license for them, but all the other small boats now, they used to always make a living at it. Okay. They're nobody's supposed to land it.
To what extent are you competing with the seals for the rockfish as well?
Oh, we can compete with them.
They have your best.
They have the upper hand.
Competing with the seals of the common fisheries policy meant that there was no white fish in the saucepan at home. Michael had turned to mackerel instead. His wife Maggie, a little less than enthusiastic about the smell.
Mackerel, salted mackerel.
Okay. And how long ago was that salted?
Oh, 3 months ago.
Right.
That'll last forever.
That's some smell, Michael.
Jeez, it's awful, isn't it?
It's okay, kind of, at night, but in the early morning.
Roosters in their own jackets, steamed in a pot,
yeah,
alongside your mackerel.
When they're nearly done. Put the mackerel on top of them.
It couldn't be simpler. It really couldn't be simpler.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing more simple.
Give me a little bit of that there. That's not as strong a taste as I thought it was going to be.
Well, I have it lukewarm to water now since yesterday morning, so it would have thrown most of
the salt out.
Salt,
of it.
Which we wouldn't do in the old days. It'd be salty. Okay.
No, well, there's more of a mackerel taste to it than a salt taste, is what I mean. Is the white sauce the thing that made it Christmas?
Oh, yeah, that's the only time we'd have the white sauce. I don't know where it came from. You want to sit down and eat a bit with
it? Of course I do.
I mean, that with a mug of milk, or if you had the time, buttermilk. If you have buttermilk with you to eat Christmas, the cows wouldn't be calved. So we'll go back to a time when there was no milk in them.
And this is the same salted fish that was being sent in care packages to the United States.
Between Fernand and brown paper, I'll never forget that, wrapped in brown paper and white twine, that would have come from the States.
Was there meant to be a kind of a hands across the ocean thing, that you were having this meal on Christmas Eve and they would be having the same meal?
You'd be talking
on Christmas
about
Eve.
Them, yeah. They'd send a letter, and after Christmas we really enjoyed. You see, they never came home.
Hmm.
You know, it was so sad.
Well, I tell you, that is a good hearty meal now. I'm enjoying that. What time of day would you have it?
Oh, late in the evening, 7 o'clock, when the lights would be lit, the big red candle in the middle of the table with the...
Oh, yeah, I meant to have that...
Basket.
A basket, I have some.
We'd throw all the potatoes into the basket.
A wicker basket, by themselves, and then that would be full of potatoes.
Is it still a real tradition then?
Yeah, it's the only old thing that's kept going, I think. Our kids come home now and they're all over the country. And they love that Christmas Eve. Mind you, they wouldn't eat it the rest of the year.
But that does feel like home.
Do you think if I am to come back here 20 or 30 years time, any of this is still going to be going on if there isn't an active fishing community on the island?
I don't think so. No. I don't think so.
Even with an active fishing.
Even now, if you asked a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old.
You had to have candles in the house, always. Candles and matches. Because we would have had a lot of power cuts on Bear Island. It could be out for 5 or 6 hours, it could be out overnight. So once you have a fire lighting and candles, you're fine. I still waft up the smell of the candle going out. It must have a childhood memory for me.
I'm Regan Hutchins and I'm heading home to Skibbereen in West Cork, where I spend every Christmas. For us, lighting candles is a big part of the ritual and ceremony of this festival, and on my way home, I've called into Be Kind Candles, where Frances Murphy is busy preparing for a Christmas market. She's based here in Cork City, but Frances grew up on Bear Island, where her love of candles was formed.
I did pull out a few pictures. I don't know how suitable any of them are. That's us on the farm. That's Hungry Hill, you see in the background. So that's the Bear Peninsula here. Castletown Bear is to the left. This is actually my brother and sister making a little snowman. So this, they don't even have a jacket on, which I'm really surprised at here. I think they have mittens on, all right. My sister has mittens on, I think. So this is as much as you'd have on Bear Island, really. 2 inches thick, maybe.
These are really lovely photos. Are you still very attached to Bear Island? And
yeah, like when my parents were there, I used to always go home. I do miss that Christmas with them. We had Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, so midnight mass was in the local church. So our Santa Claus would have come before that. He didn't come down our chimney either. He came in our landing window. So that's where the candle would come in. The candle would always be downstairs in our sitting room window. But when Santa Claus was coming Christmas Eve, we'd move it to the landing window so that he'd see the light and he'd come in. So then there was a load of noise while we were in the house downstairs. Next thing, the candle would be blown out and you'd smell it gone out. And you'd hear the noise and we're like, ah, he's here. Santa Claus would have arrived. So
very high drama.
High drama, yeah. Santa Claus coming in the landing window.
Well, we are in your kitchen and you've got an array of candles put out on the table and over here on the sideboard. So do you want to show me?
Yeah, I'm just getting ready. I have a market tomorrow. So this is all part of the process. So I just have a small pot of wax there.
So this
melting.
This is beeswax.
Yep.
And you're melting it in hot water.
Yep. It's like a bain-marie type of thing. It's just very natural, non-toxic. It cleans the air. Gets rid of smells. The very first beeswax candle I made was this mold here. It's a little old, an old type skep. So a skep was like a hive years ago. It was made of straw and the bees would be inside in it. So this is before we had the proper wooden hives with the frames.
So you've got melted wax and
yep.
You're going to fill up one of these molds.
Yes. I think I'll do the Christmas one. We'll be Christmassy. Yeah. Yeah, so this is quite hot, so we just pour it in. You can even smell it as it's pouring. It's delicious, look. There we go. And I leave that there till tomorrow. So it is a long process. There's no fast way around it.
If we no gain ever falling where alone, she fed in the sea,
na mochte san amro cho even the sorrow.
I mustn't forget to brush the cake.
Don't forget anything now, don't let me distract you.
No, no, no.
So I made it to Skibbereen, to my home, and I'm in the kitchen. And my mother, Eileen, is icing her Christmas cake. And when did you make the cake?
In October.
What's the weight of the cake?
It's 8 pounds when it's fully covered.
So it's like a baby.
Bigger than any I had.
You and I both have a thing for candles. I think for me, that comes from hearing stories from you of when you were growing up in the farm.
Yeah, and we didn't have electricity, so we had lamps, oil lamps. But at Christmas Eve, Dada used to cut a turnip in half and wrap it in crinkly paper. I can't think of the name of it. And make a hole in it and put the candle into it and put one on each window.
In the front of the house?
In the front of the house. And we'd have a big one then on the window in the parlour, because we'd have the fire lighting there for Christmas Eve, and a big one in the kitchen. But then in the morning, in our area, a lot of people might have left a candle on the middle of the kitchen floor while they went to early morning mass. But we never did that because of safety reasons. We didn't.
I suppose stone floors.
Stone floors, yes. I'm sure it would have been quite safe.
Where you grew up was by the sea. It was in Lachine outside of Skibbereen.
Yes. When you'd go outside, go out the back door at night and look over the fields to Hare Island, they all had little candles flickering in their windows. And it was absolutely magical because there was no electricity, so there was nothing to distract from the beautiful flicker. And then it was across the fields north of our house towards my grandfather's house and the other town lands. It was just a flicker all the way, beautiful flicker. That's the icing roll.
People do still buy a Christmas candle and they'll light it every night all through Christmas. The candle going out when Santa arrived, that smell coming down the hallway, it must ignite something. I love the blowing out, I love that smell, even in the sitting room at night when you blow out the candles. Lights off, candle lighting, fire. There's just nothing like it.
And that was Regan Hutchins reporting from home in County Cork. Don't go anywhere. There's more after the break.
Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. If you are just joining us, you're listening to a special edition of Countrywide. Got all your shopping done? If you haven't and you're in Wexford, you could pop into this family-run bookshop.
We're just opening the doors at Red Books in St. Peter's Square, up on the hill overlooking the town. So we've got 250,000 books here. We're lucky, it's kind of a community hub, so people just drop in and have coffee, and we've lots of company.
I'm Della Kilroy, here in Wexford's Red Books. It's been close to 10 years since Wally O'Neill first set it up as a pop-up shop just before Christmas. And he's been expanding ever since.
Originally, we started in 2016 in a shed in Bridgetown. It was a converted bull shed, and it was about half the size of this room. So this place had been a bottling factory in the 1960s, and some of it hadn't been used since then. So we just kept knocking through walls and going a little bit farther in. It's like a maze of books, basically. It's just tunnels. The books are almost coming out on you at this stage. I know some people can find it a bit overwhelming, but for me, this is kind of a mecca for book lovers, because you never really know what you're going to find.
When did your love of books start?
For as long as I can remember, I always loved them. You know, I suppose I was lucky. We might have been one of the last generations to grow up without the internet, so So there was no competition there.
Hey, Wally, have you got that book I was looking for?
For Wally, the bookshop is a family affair, with his mother, Nuala, kept busy behind the till.
Always a pleasure. I'll be back next week.
But this is my mother, Nuala. Some people would say she's the real boss here, and most people would say it, I'd say. But she keeps the thing running, and if anyone's bald, she's the one who'll give them the door.
I like meeting people, you know. I worked in a bar all my life, so I had plenty of exercise with that. Meet rough and tough. That's the way it is. All sorts, all sizes. But we're fond of it. You know, anyone's fond of a job. It's the main thing, isn't it?
So you've got three books today.
Yeah,
I have three books today. Russian history and about the Second World War and everything else. Yeah.
And what do you like about coming into a bookshop like this?
The smell. It sounds really weird, but it is the actual smell of the books. It's home. It's literally home. For a book, for me, it's about sitting down and taking the time and just giving it to yourself to open up a chapter and read a book.
So what does a book mean to you at Christmas?
A warm hug. That it's just coming home. So like, I live up in Galway for college, so there's books that I'll remember just sitting down at Christmas time in front of the fire with Mam and Dad. You're able to just not think about the world, you know, your stresses from work and college and, you know, everything that's going on in the world as well at the moment, all the sadness and pain, that you can just take half an hour to yourself and just sit down and just escape for a while.
So you'll be around the fire this Christmas?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Right, you'll enjoy it.
How are you?
How's things? Okay. Good. Hello. I guess my favourite book at Christmas is A Christmas Carol. Probably the only classic writer that we struggle with other times of the year, but they sell really well at Christmas is Dickens for some reason.
With so much competition online around Christmas, What's business like this time of year?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of towns that don't have bookshops like this, so I can understand why people will buy online then. Walking along Wexford's Main Street today, I think if you dropped into any of the shops, they'll tell you that they're all up against it with the likes of Temu and everything like that. But I think we've come over that phase, bookshops, maybe because we've had to learn to adapt. Maybe these places are replacing the pubs, because unfortunately pub culture is kind of dying out and there wasn't a replacement, so people are hungry for that place to go, I think, where they can just talk and meet people and we'll have people calling in every day that this is their family now. Even last Christmas, one of the girls here invited a whole group of them to her house for Christmas dinner because maybe they're living on their own or whatever, you know. So that was lovely to see.
So you've got coffee here as well.
Coffee here as well, yeah. Working away on that. The Irish class is on this morning now. Big crowd. Good few around. It's nice to see.
Tomage egg Usiden Gael Gabrista. Broken Irish.
Not well, lads. Tasha Gama.
Yeah. So you're here surrounded with lots of books. What does a bookshop mean?
I was brought up in a bookshop, so my father was a bookseller, so there's just the magic about books. Nothing else can compare with them. I always got a book at Christmas. The first book I ever got was Joy of Jasmine Street, and I was about 6 or 7 at the time. But I still remember.
You still have it?
I still have it.
So Christmas without a book wouldn't be Christmas. Even if you don't read it. You keep saying, I must read that sometime. You leave it on the shelf.
I think mine was Tom Brown's School Days, one of the classics. We used to get all the classics as kids, Ivanhoe, Swiss Family Robinson, Oliver, anything by Charles Dickens, really.
What does it mean to you to come in here rather than just buying something maybe online? Or
you always feel you're going to find a hidden gem, you'll find something different, something that you haven't seen for years or something you've never seen before.
Yeah,
I think that's the magic of this shop too.
You might get lost out the back.
Oh, you could definitely. You could,
totally.
You could. Something might fall on you too.
It's a home away from home for people, really. You know, everyone is welcome here. Yeah. People who are down and out who need a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or maybe something to eat, they come into the shop and they're welcome. There's always a file to write, like Gok dinner, Wally's, Red Books.
Right, so I'll leave you with the rest of your work to do.
No, thanks very much for calling down. Eh?
Yeah.
Oh,
bring her over the grass, will we?
I look across to her. Yeah. And you get a good
This is the sail. This is a polyester material. Turling, as we call it, yeah?
Turling.
Turling, we call it nowadays. This is my wife's handiwork.
Oh, beautiful stitching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make the sails for all the Bordeaux Hotel.
Yeah.
So we have to do a lot of different things when you're involved in Bordeaux.
I'm Lorna Siggins, and I'm in Galway City opposite the Spanish Arch with Peter Connolly, Dara Bailey, Ray O'Bara, and other members of the traditional boat restoration group Bádóirí an Chladaí as they untangle Christmas lights to illuminate three traditional boats, the Gloitiog Manuela, the Lafod Marquín Jo, and the Rail to na Gáileadh, all moored in the Chladaí Basin.
So what we do is, every time we get the lights ready, we lay out the ropes, the shape of the sail, and then we attach the lights onto the ropes then, and there we have it.
Okay.
Simply done.
So you're going to do that now?
Yep.
So you made these lights up a few years ago and you just keep them, is that
we
it?
We keep them aside, yeah. Things were quite bleak COVID time, and we said we'd do something to try and brighten up this corner.
They're not too tangled.
Not like the ones you have in the house now that were up in the
attic.
Oh,
yeah. I take this corner, okay? Now we're just bringing the lights over to the grass. How are you doing?
We use the sail as a template.
Yeah, yeah. Ray O'Bara. Yeah, my people would have been there from Four Fishers and Letharmullen as well, going back. Machin Warren Ivera and Ned O'Bara. So, Brishan and Dokish to Hulan Haich. Everyone's family had probably a boat builder, a Searwatch, in their family. It's a very novelty thing.
Yeah.
Lorna, would you see it in many other parts of the world? That's a first for Galway and the Chladaí Basin, Bádóirí and Chladaí.
Yeah.
Peter Connolly and all that.
You're part of the Bádóirí and Chladaí, and you're from the very famous Bailey family.
Well, famous is a strong word.
Infamous.
Even that strong word. But when Peter came back from Canada, and there was only two boats left in Chladaí at the time, really for a place there was supposed to be a few hundred boats, they're all booked on. And Peter started the revival in all fairness to him. And it's been going from year after year. There's another club there now since started, which is fantastic. There's a lot of new interest coming in, which is fantastic. And long may it continue, like. But it was Peter that kicked it off.
And yeah. You had sailed with your father, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, I spent years sailing in the couple, like, yeah. They would have been trading turf and seaweed in the couple. She would have been a cargo boat, like, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of line of work was declining. Such his passion for the sailing boats and the way he was living. He didn't like the noise of the engines. He always, no, even though he
like
spent,
sailing.
He preferred sailing instead. Yeah. I was seventh in the family of 10. I treasured them years we had together.
Yeah.
The wealth of knowledge is second to none, like when you come to years of experience at sea, like, you know. No, but look at, as you come over the Wolftown Bridge there and you see these, like, yeah, we see them all the time. We should have to stop and look. And here's the boss coming.
Here's Peter Connolly.
Yeah.
There was an artist, Michael Devlin, a pencil artist. And I asked him, insert six boats over here from Drury's Hotel down to the Spanish Arch and just give a feel for what it was like 100 years ago. And he came up with this beautiful photograph. We used that as a catalyst to move forward. Within 10 years, those seven boats were rebuilt, some brand new. And since that, Kieran Oliver, there's a second hooker sailing club, and they're doing it extremely well, and they're building boats. And they have at least five, six boats out there at the moment sailing. It's been a real revival in that sense. But we desperately, desperately need a safe haven, both in winter and summer. We have as many storms in the summer now. There's one photograph here from 1895 with 14 boats in the basin here out of inclement weather in safety. Just at that nook at the Clatter Church here.
Don't tell them no, it's giving them compliments, will you?
I won't.
Put a life jacket on Santa. Are you ready to go?
So you're the conductor, Martin.
Call me what you want. I want to spit some on it.
On three, ready?
Well done, speech. Peter. Well done, Peter.
Absolutely.
different colour wools here just to make it a little bit more Christmassy and exciting.
I'm Dermot McIntyre and I'm in Kilfinan, County Limerick, nestled in the Ballyhour Mountains. The Intercultural Winterfest is in full swing here.
Anybody else like a candy cane?
The crafts, food and choirs.
The lights were a little bit warmer that Christmas.
Workshops and storytelling.
It's now for hot chocolate and mulled wine.
And gathering in the square for the lighting of the Christmas tree.
That one small act of kindness ran through the town like a happy elf.
But for the children of Kilfinan, it is a very, very special visitor who is exciting their hearts and capturing their imaginations.
Are you going to see Santa?
Yeah. Tell me who you've brought to see Santa today. They're all very young.
They are, yeah. They're very small.
Kuan is 2.5, and Shifra is 1.5, and Nisha is 3 months.
We're getting the biggest yawn there. Yeah. She's going to go in and see Santa.
Yes, see? Snowman. Wow. It's nice to have it in a lovely local setting where they're familiar and there isn't much of a trip. They walked down from their nana's house and they saw all the lights and this is what we wanted. We don't like the big putting everybody under pressure, putting them under pressure. It's lovely and relaxed. 15 minutes with them. I think it's lovely.
My name is Connor. My age is 6 and we're in Chocnacilla.
And what are you going to do in Chocnacilla today, Connor?
Go to Santa.
Santa's here in Chocnacilla in Kilfinan?
Yes.
Have you any idea at the moment if you're on the naughty list or the nice list?
Nice list.
That's very confident. So tell me about Santa Claus.
He wears black boots, a red and kind of blackish and silver coat.
Wow.
He has a beard.
What type of beard?
White.
My goodness.
He says, ho, ho, ho.
Are you nervous or are you excited?
Excited.
Yeah. So we're just waiting here at the moment, aren't we, to see Santa.
I wonder, could Dermot sing?
Oh,
I hate Dermot.
Away in a manger.
I love that song.
Are you going to sing it?
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. The stars in the bright sky look down from the sky and lead us to heaven to live with ye there.
Oh, thank you so much, Connor. That was just beautiful.
Santa, he gave us a sword with our name on it.
Oh my goodness. Are you able to read it?
Official North Pole document. Jakey Lee has been officially on Santa's nice list for this year. Approved Santa Claus Kilfinan.
That is fantastic. And what was Santa like?
He was really nice and he had the Christmas joy.
He said ho ho ho.
And he also had Mrs. Claus next to him.
Oh, so Mrs. Claus was there too?
Yeah.
And was she nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Santa, he gets all the credit, but I think it's a team really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what would you like for Christmas then?
To do a dollhouse. And I want my parents, my family to play with me. I like hanging out with my family.
You like hanging out with your family at Christmas?
Family more important to me. But you make me happy and all.
So if your family play with you, that's the best Christmas present ever, is it?
Yeah. That more I would like.
It's about playing with other people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That I liked.
Describe what it was like inside.
It was like all red, Christmassy. There were elves everywhere, candy canes, presents. Just magical.
Oh my gosh!
That's so much fun!
So much fun. You guys.
What are you going to Santa for?
Three presents.
Three presents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know what they'll be?
They're three presents.
Yeah. Are you going to say hi to Santa?
Yeah.
Come on, so let's go hi to Santa. Yes.
Hello! Hello, everyone!
Mrs. Claus.
Hello, Mr. Claus. Merry Christmas, Mr. Claus. It's me, Maria.
are you?
Lovely to see you.
There is a way how I'm creating snowflakes. Yeah. Do you like snowflakes?
Yeah.
Do you want to see snowflakes?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Snowflakes. So, Asante is ready. Do you want to meet him? Yeah. Let's go, follow me.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Are you all good boys and girls, yeah? Do you keep your bedroom tidy?
Yeah.
And pick up your smelly socks. Oh. Or do you leave Mummy pick up your smelly socks?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
You're a scamp, aren't you? Yeah. Well, did you give Santa a high five?
Oi, high five. Hey. And a fist pump. Hey. We have something for you.
Oh wow.
Are you going to open it up?
Yeah.
Have a look inside and see if you're on the naughty or the nice list. It's happening. It's happening. And now it's open. Nevea. She's on the nice list.
Nevea, are you on the nice list?
Yeah.
And will you leave me out cookies and milk Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
When you're going to bed nice and early.
Can I tell you something? I have an elf at school.
You do?
And he's point trip.
All right.
Santa,
what kind of thing?
I crave for some bluefish.
You want some from bluefish?
Yeah.
Right.
I crave for some bluefish.
And would you all like to come in for a photograph?
Oh, yeah. Every single one of us. Yeah. Keep a smile.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You're very good. Well done.
Yay. Yay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So that is almost it. Many thanks to all of our reporters, Regan Hutchins, Della Kilroy, Lorna Siggins and Dermot McIntyre. The music that you were listening to, as I was saying, it all came from RTÉ Lyric FM's Choirs for Christmas competition. And what you heard was Somewhere in My Memory from Encore School of Performing Arts in Knocklyon, County Dublin, Swinging Christmas Tree from the Monastery School Choir from Tipperary Town, and you heard Carol of the Bells from Glore Children's Choir in Moat, County Westmeath. And finally, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas from Skulnashunt of Rija in Clane, County Kildare. Thank you so much for listening this morning and throughout the year. It only remains for me on behalf of the countrywide team to wish you and yours a very peaceful, very merry Christmas. We'll talk to you at the same time again next week. Good morning.
Hippo is a vegetarian. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind to you. Oh, there's lots of him in our two-car garage. I'll feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. He'll see me now on Christmas morning, creeping down the stairs. Oh, what a joy, what a surprise. Countrywide on RTÉ Radio 1. Listen back on the RTÉ Radio Player.